And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again, folks. Once again, I am reunited with the AFR family as one of your hosts, not a daily radio host, but I'm here on my podcast. This is the first of these podcasts, and I hope many, many more to come. But I am just grateful to God and grateful to AFR, the management and staff for working with me to help make this possible. I am elated. As you all know, I ran for president of the United States. I was in the race for 6 months, announced on July 14th, 714, symbolic of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Wonderful way to kick it off. I ended it precisely 6 months later on December the 14th, just before Christmas, because I found out to my shock, although I shouldn't have been, I expected what was going to happen with my candidacy was that I would just be criticized viciously because of my Christian worldview. I found out they had another strategy in mind, which was from the elitist of the Republican establishment on down to their sycophants in the media on both sides to just ignore my candidacy, just pretend I wasn't in the race, pretend that I wasn't a Republican candidate. They did not use my picture. They did not use my name. They never acknowledged me. And I said, I shouldn't be surprised, but I was, because I thought that I was going to get some pretty vicious criticism, but they decided that criticizing me would probably help me, ignoring me would hurt me. And so that they took the latter, the smarter approach from their point of view of ignoring my candidacy. It's the same criticism I've had, frankly, when I was on the radio daily, and I would often mention to you that people like, well, I could name them all, and forgive me because I won't get them all in. I won't remember all of their names, but, you know, Abraham Hamilton III and formerly Sandy Rios and now Jenna Ellis and just go down the line, okay? Jeff Shreve and so forth. And all of these folks, and forgive me, I mean, obviously Tim, and I probably shouldn't have started naming names because now I feel like, okay, but should I name everybody? But you, as far as I'm concerned, every single one ought to be on Fox, ought to be on Newsmax, ought to be on CNN, ought to be on all of these outlets giving Christian commentary, advancing a Christian worldview, because millions of Americans hold that worldview. But they've decided to, frankly, ignore people who have big audiences, lots of people who are listening to them and supporting them, agreeing with them, but they don't want to acknowledge them because they simply have decided, when I say they, I mean the elites. And by the way, this is on both sides of the spectrum. This is the elites in the Republican Party, the elites in the Democrat Party, the elites in the media. These elitists, I should call them, these elitists have decided they simply don't want a Christian worldview. They don't want that to be advanced because they know too many people will be attracted to it. Too many people will want it. Too many people will gravitate to it. So the best way to deal with it is to pretend they don't exist, pretend they're not there. One of the most influential networks in America is American Family Radio. You would never know it by the response of the mainstream media. You would never know it. But that's a fact. And I know it because I travel all over the country, and I still have people. It's been a year since I've been on the air, on the radio, and I still have people. Oh, we used to listen to you every day. And that's not just some places I go where I know we have a big radio, we have radio stations, and that obviously helps, but it's everywhere. Everywhere. And yet, and I'm not just obviously pointing the finger, why don't they put me on? But I'm thinking of all these other folks who've been on a lot longer, and in some cases have far more people who know who they are and are listening to them, and yet, they'll call on some local talk show host in some city that, you ask, well, so why him? Why her? Well, because that person is not going to espouse a point of view that they don't want to hear. They can be conservative, secular conservatives, but they don't want biblical worldview conservatives. Because biblical worldview conservatives are going to be absolutist on homosexuality and on same-sex marriage and on all this gender confusion, are going to be absolutist as opposed to people who are willing to, well, we can compromise a little bit at the edges. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a quote-unquote Caitlyn Jenner because she, I don't know what quite to, and forgive me, folks, but I don't know what, you just don't know what to call these people. And you don't want to be insulting or offensive, but you don't know what to call them because they're confused and they want to drag you into confusion. But he, as far as I'm concerned, is not a legitimate spokesperson for conservative values. How can you be? You're a man who thinks you're a woman. So as a Christian, that's my point of view. But you know what? The secular media doesn't want to hear that. And by the way, folks, much of the conservative secular media doesn't want to hear that either. They rather you just kind of fudge it and, let's not be too dogmatic here. Well, the Bible's pretty dogmatic. And so I'm going to follow the word of God rather than following what the mainstream media wants. But at any rate, I said that as a prelude to say, thank every one of you, because the greatest encouragement I got for my candidacy was from American Family Radio listeners everywhere I went. In fact, I just preached at a church out in Missouri, and I had people coming up to me saying, we know they didn't acknowledge you this time, but would you please run for president again? Folks, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement, but no. No, because look, and since this is the first program, I'll share a little of this with you because I know some of you might be interested because we've kind of developed a bond and you all will probably be interested in this. Others might not, but I'll tell you, folks, that was a hardship. And not that I wouldn't do it again if God commanded me to, mind you, but I'll tell you, it's nothing to look forward to. It's nothing to say, oh, man, I can't wait to do that again. Quite the opposite. It's hard on you physically. It's hard on you financially. It can be very hard on you psychologically when you're working hard to break through and you know there are forces at work that simply won't let you do that. You get gratified when you go and you do have an opportunity to address an audience and people come up to you and say, I'm voting for you. I'm voting for you. I want you. But you realize that that's not enough to break through in a country of 330 million people, or about half that many who are voters. You need the media to acknowledge your candidacy and to allow you to be heard on some of these venues that they were allowing all the other candidates to be heard on. And when you don't get that unless you've got millions of dollars to spend. And a fellow minister, as you all know, was in the race. He had a different approach to it than I did because my approach was to bring Judeo-Christian values and principles to the discussion. I ran to put God back in the center of the American body politic. That was my purpose. But another minister ran it. I think he was more, because he's a businessman also, he was much more focused on economics. I was focused on the spiritual and moral condition of our country. And even he, as a minister, millionaire, couldn't get any traction. I think you'd have to be prepared to spend millions of dollars to introduce yourself to the American people, because you'd get absolutely, as a Christian, if they identify you as a, particularly as a minister, because I guess that was enough to keep him kind of out of the spotlight, because many of you, and I say that name, maybe you heard it, but most people would know who he is. So it's not something I would recommend if you're not called to do it. And unless the Lord were to call me to do it, I have absolutely no intention of trying that again. Although it was a great learning experience, as always, these things are a great learning experience. And look, there's something to be said, whatever others may think, there's something to be said for just flat out being obedient to God. Just do what God tells you to do. I mean, be clear on that. Have some conviction about that. But just once you know that you know that you know, just do it. You know, the Word of God says in Isaiah 1:19, I believe it is, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so there's something to be said for that, regardless of what the consequences or the outcome might be. But I want to thank all of you, because you were a refreshing to me all across this country, wherever I appeared, and there were Christians, listeners to AFR. I always got encouragement. I always got, you know, praise God for you. Keep it up. Keep going. Because, of course, you all know that I'm representing you, that I'm trying to speak for you in the sense of speaking Christian values, Christian perspective, Christian approaches to the problems of the day, where even, frankly, many conservatives who are secular shy away from that. So that's the first thing I wanted to do. Just thank you and reflect a little bit on that. The other thing I would say to you is this, in this opening podcast of The Awakening, don't let yourself become discouraged. Because you know that outcome, you could say, man, that must have been terribly disappointing. Well, I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't happy about the way things worked out. But I never allowed myself to despair or to become discouraged or even confused about, well, Lord, did you really want me to do this? Because look, I've learned this. Just because God gives you an instruction and tells you to do something doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and doesn't mean you're going to achieve success in the world's terms. I'm thinking right now of all of these wonderful people who laid down in these baby-killing abortuaries and tried to slow down the process of killing unborn babies. Some of them in their 70s, now facing federal prison, sentences of 2 to 6 years. They didn't assault anybody. They didn't attack anybody. They didn't threaten anybody. They didn't do some of the horrible things we've seen happen in riots all across this country when somebody gets all worked up about something they think the police did wrong or about Israel and about Israel defending itself against these people, Hamas and others who would destroy them, who want to annihilate the Jewish people. They get all worked up about that. They'll block traffic. They'll attack federal buildings. They'll assault police officers. Pretty much anything you can imagine, they're willing to do. And you know what they get? If they get arrested at all, it's a slap on the hand, a little processing them, and they're right back out on the street. And they've disrupted commerce. They've stopped people from getting to work. Sometimes they actually cause harm to individuals. They've destroyed property. They've threatened. They walk the streets immediately afterwards. Here's some, and literally, and I mean this literally, not offensively, some little old ladies who couldn't hurt anybody, simply taking a principal stand for the lives of unborn children, and the response is to put them in federal prison. But we can't, look, we can't. Those folks facing that, Steve Bannon, by the way, is in federal prison. Peter Navarro is in federal prison right now for having done the same thing, by the way, that I think Mayorkas, Attorney General, the Attorney General has done, which is refuse to respond to a congressional subpoena to testify. He's been held in contempt. Eric Holder, the same thing. But you know, interestingly, they didn't go to jail, did they? So we're looking at a criminal justice system that, I mean, it's left fairness far behind at this point. But we cannot allow ourselves to be discouraged by that, to despair over this stuff, to say, oh, well, what's the point? What's the point? I mean, they've got the whole system rigged. We cannot do it. We've got to fight for what we know is right. And look, God is not the author of confusion. God's not torturing anybody. God's not imprisoning anybody for standing up for him. This is the devil. But you could easily say, can you see those women and maybe some of their family members, some of their friends looking at, well, you, God, this could not possibly be God. Look, you're going to jail. Just because God is in it doesn't mean the outcome is going to be something that the world considers to be success. God is operating at a much, much higher level than we do. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Higher than the heavens are above the earth are his ways and our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Now, thank God Donald Trump has said that if he gets elected president, he's going to see to it that all those people go home. He's going to see to it that all those people are pardoned. And that's exactly what should happen. They should all be pardoned. Because to charge these people with federal crimes and put them in jail is a travesty. In my view, it's a violation of the First Amendment, frankly. And I hope at some point this stuff gets constitutionally challenged. And the court shows some wisdom and constitutional insight and says this is inconsistent. You know, sure, you can punish them for trespassing. Sure, if they assault somebody or they harm somebody, you could trespass them. You could prosecute them for disrupting the peace or disturbing the peace, that kind of thing. But putting them in federal prison for a felony, when you have people who commit rape and robbery and murder who get out on cashless bail and sometimes in some cases never do a day. I'm pointing all of this out simply to say, but we cannot allow ourselves to be discouraged or to despair or to think just because that things are not going the way we would want them to go, the way we would hope them to go, the way we know God would have them go, does not mean we ought to quit, we ought to back up, we ought to give in, we ought to give up, we ought to despair, we ought to get depressed, we ought to get discouraged. No. In fact, the crazier they get, the more convicted we ought to be. And the more wicked they become, the more determined we ought to be to absolutely destroy the works of the devil. And that's where I am. You think, man, after what you went through and the hardship, and you're still enthusiastic. Absolutely. I am still an American. I am still a patriot. I still love this country, and I am still prepared to go down fighting for what this country means to me. And of course, I'm not, again, not talking about violence necessarily, but obviously, you know, there is a right of self-defense. But I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about waging the good fight of faith. And we simply don't quit. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't walk away. We don't back down. We're in it. You know when it's over? When we win. In the spirit of George Washington, it's over when we win. So I just want to encourage you to just stay with it. Now, look, I'm believing God that Donald Trump is going to be elected president of the United States. And there are lots of reasons why I believe that. And of course, I'm sure you all have your theories about what's going on right now with President Biden's exposed cognitive decline. Well, you and I have known it all along, but these lying media talking heads and these lying Democrats acting like everything is fine. Oh, it's great. He is sharper than I am. And it's obvious. The man can't walk up two steps without falling over. He doesn't know which way to go after he's finished speaking. He's talking to people who aren't there. Are you kidding me? He can't answer a question in any kind of cogent fashion. He can't remember from 1 minute to the next. It seems, it really looks like he can't remember from 1 minute to the next where he is. He needs directions on his teleprompter telling him, now walk off the stage. You don't know. So come on. You know, it really is an insult to our intelligence where these people have been saying he's the sharpest guy in the room. He's, you know, you just want to say, you know, I'm less insulted by the lie than I am by the fact that you really think I'm stupid enough to believe it. That really insults me. I mean, because they're liars anyway. They're liars because they are the children of the devil, and he's a liar and the father of lies. So they're his children, that they're liars too. Yeah, what else is new? But when you tell me a big, stupid lie like that, when every bit of evidence you can see and hear tells you that that's not true, it just goes to show what a low opinion they have of us. It really does. Of course, they don't care about people anyway, and they're not interested in people. They're interested in themselves and their own sense of power. But look, so in this first program, I thought I would share with you, I still got a few minutes. I thought I would share with you the platform that, in fact, I have a dear friend on the Republican National Committee, and some people that I just know are acquaintances. Some of them are just rock solid Christians. I mean, just take no prisoners type folks. And they are influencing the platform. And they've been doing that, by the way, for quite some time. Unfortunately, the candidate who wins doesn't always follow the platform. I think we got a better chance of the platform being followed with Donald Trump than we've had in years past. George Bush, for example, George Bush II proved it, well, George Bush I as well. George Bush II, though, proved to be a great disappointment to me personally, because I voted for him because he was a born-again believer. And I thought, this man's got to lead the country in the right direction. I felt the same way about Jimmy Carter. I was a Christian, but I was still a Democrat, but I thought, man, Jimmy Carter's going to be great. I mean, Jimmy Carter's a born-again believer. He knows and loves the Lord. You know what I've come to learn, folks? I've come to learn it is not what people say they are. It's what people actually do. You know, just because a person says they're a Christian, and maybe they are, it doesn't mean they're wise. It doesn't mean they're mature. It doesn't mean they're courageous. It doesn't mean that they will do what the scripture requires. It just means that they carry that label, and maybe they go to church. I mean, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, George Bush. And I'm not trying to put these people in hell. I'm not saying that, because the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. But I tell you what, I met a lot of Christians, folks. Now, praise God, I met some wonderful Christians too. But I've met and had to work with a lot of Christians who I wouldn't trust across the street. And I don't think it's because they're of the devil. I think it's just because they're immature, they're weak, they're pliable, they want to be accepted. Or in some cases, they're greedy. Whatever. Now, mind you, some of the most wonderful people I've ever had the privilege of meeting, knowing, and working with have been Christians. No question about it. But just because a person says, I'm a Christian, doesn't mean we all can say, oh, well, wonderful. That's all we need to know. No, I've gotten to a point now where I need to know a lot more than that. I had somebody say to me, I preached at Grace Church out in Missouri, Maryland Heights, Missouri, and I made clear to the congregation, of course, speaking for myself, not speaking for the pastors of the church, but speaking for myself, that I was going to support Donald Trump. And somebody came up to me afterwards when I was signing books and said, somebody else didn't want to come up. So they sent somebody for them. And said he didn't want to come up himself, but he said he didn't know how you could support Donald Trump when Donald Trump's immoral and Donald Trump's committed adultery and blah, blah, you know. And I said, look, I don't have time to discuss this with you, because there was a long line of people waiting to have me sign my book. I said, but, you know, you tell that person that it is ultimately not about him or Donald Trump. It is ultimately about this country and who is going to lead us where we need to go. And that I believe that Donald Trump is a man who is now being used by God to bring this country back from the brink. And I could have gone on with more, but I didn't. But here's some of the things I was thinking. And look, George Bush didn't do this. Donald Trump said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and we are going to officially recognize it as such. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, that Donald Trump's not a Christian. I've heard different people's opinions about it. Some who really believe that he is, but he's maybe an immature Christian. Others who doubt his Christianity altogether. But I'll say this, in my view, Donald Trump has done more to support and uphold the Christian community and our values and principles than any president in my lifetime. Except for Ronald Reagan. Maybe Ronald Reagan. But I think Donald Trump has done more than Ronald Reagan. I mean, Donald Trump was the one who said during my presidency, the Johnson Amendment will never be used to try to take away your First Amendment liberties. You have a right to say whatever you want to say in the pulpit. And you know what, by the way, as soon as Trump was out of office, I started hearing, I've gotten reports from various ministers of the IRS going after them for things that they said from their pulpits. Didn't happen during Donald Trump's presidency, but it's certainly happening during Biden's. I can name at least two friends with vibrant churches who have been had the IRS open up investigations of their churches because of things purportedly that they said from the pulpit. It's none of the IRS's business what a pastor says from the pulpit. That's that congregation's business. And if they want to do something about something they think the pastor said, that's up to them. But that the IRS has nothing to say about what a pastor says from the pulpit. It's a violation of the Constitution. It's a violation of our history, because we wouldn't even be a country had not preachers stood up and proclaimed liberty in the days of the Revolutionary War and told the people that God was on the side of liberty. We are on the side of liberty. We are against King George, and we are against Great Britain, and we will take up arms to secure that liberty. And they said, God is on our side. And they were right. You're telling me the IRS should investigate you. What are you going to do? Go back and investigate Jonas Clark and Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, who stood up and declared, you all know Peter Gabriel, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, stood up in his congregation and said, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, the time of peace, the time for war, this is a time for war, and finished that message and took off his robe and had a militia uniform on and said, who's going to join me? 300 men from his congregation went to do battle for their liberty. Don't even get me started, folks. It's none of the IRS's business what a pastor says from the pulpit. That's between him and his congregation. But under Biden's administration, he's unleashed the IRS to now go after preachers. Didn't happen under Donald Trump. And when this wicked Ahab type Joe Biden had the unmitigated gall to say that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I am declaring to be Transgender Visibility Day. Donald Trump said, well, we're going to make the first Tuesday in November Christian Visibility Day. Praise God. He has been willing to listen to Christians, associate himself with Christians. Has he been perfect? No. Has he done everything he's done in a way that I would completely and endorse in every situation? No. He's not me. But I tell you what, Jesus is not on the ballot. So you don't get to, we've already voted for him. We've surrendered our lives to him. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he doesn't need a vote. But he's not on the ballot for President of the United States. A human being, a flawed human being is, versus a wicked, twisted, cognitively diminished individual who is putting this nation and its national security at risk. To me, the choice is easy for any Christian. In fact, it's easier for a Christian, in my view, than it is for anybody else. Because we bring that spiritual analysis to the situation that others do not. And when you look at this from a spiritual point of view, to me, it's a no-brainer. And so the following morning, I expounded a little bit in the church I was preaching at on the issue after the person asked me that question. You know, God used Darius, God used Cyrus, God used Artaxerxes, God used kings who were not Jewish, therefore Christianity, nobody even knew about at that point, used them to bless the Jewish people. Each of those kings participated in the restoration of Jerusalem. And I think it was King Artaxerxes, if I'm not mistaken, of Persia, who ended up hanging Haman. So, and I don't put Donald Trump in the category of not being a Christian. I believe that Donald Trump has embraced Christian values. His personal relationship with the Lord is something that only he and the Lord know. But he has embraced Christian values. He has embraced the Christian community. He has embraced Christian principle. He has embraced support for Israel. I mean, I tell you what, Israel wouldn't be concerned about getting munitions from the United States government if Donald Trump were president of the United States. Now, with these programs, as always, they're going to go in directions I didn't intend them to go or didn't plan for them to go, I should say. But I always like to come and let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me where he wants me to go. So that's where the Lord has led me. Just wanted you to hear that. So look, the Republican platform is tremendous, but it's not perfect. So I want to tell you what's in it, and then tell you what's not in it, and we'll be done. And by the way, I talk a little bit about my running for president. I was never, ever running against Donald Trump. And I defy anybody to find one instance of me ever publicly saying anything against him. And there were two reasons. Number one, I knew that God had mightily used him to help this nation in the 4 years that he was president, and we all owed him a debt of gratitude, and I still believe that. And number two, I knew that barring a miracle of God, Donald Trump's going to be the nominee, and that I'm going to support him, just as I'm doing right now, by the way. If you all go to standamericapac.us, that's standamericapac.us, you will see there a project we have called Save America, Elect Donald Trump. Now, again, I'm not speaking for AFR now. I'm chairman of that PAC. You can go check that out and contribute to it or pray for us, however you can help us. But I am dedicated, having run for president myself, I am dedicated to seeing to it that Donald Trump becomes president again. And I said, by the way, when I was running, and I think shortly after I stopped running, I probably waited until after I stopped running because I don't think I did much commentary on the other candidates except the rest of them. I said, as far as I was concerned, there were only two candidates that were even worthy of consideration by Christians, and that was Donald Trump and Rick DeSantis. That's it. I made clear I wasn't going to vote for a Hindu, and I wasn't going to vote for some of these milk toast. I stood on the platform with some of them when I was running, and I just... not Christian. Some of them weren't even conservative. I told, who was the guy? Will Hurt? I told him, I said, why do you keep using democracy? I said, that's the code word that the left uses. We are a constitutional republic. Well, yeah. And he hemmed and hawed and hit like he'd never heard it before. I mean, and he's running as a conservative. So I was never against Donald Trump, but I was running to, as I said before, bring God to the center of the discussion and bring our Judeo-Christian values and principles to the center of the discussion. Now, in the time I've got left, here's the 20 things on the Republican platform. And by the way, I also said, you know, that's why I'm not committed to the Republican Party per se. I'm committed to the principles that the Republican Party espouses. If they leave the principles, I leave the party. It's not even a question. Unlike some of these Democrats who are just mesmerized, I will vote Democrat no matter what. And even Christians who seem to have that mindset, that's not being a member of or participant in a political party. That's being a cult member. I'm not a cult member. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Which is why I say, look, I don't agree with Donald Trump on every single thing he says and every single thing he does, but I believe he is the best person to help save this country right now. And I can say that without equivocation. So he has my full support. But I don't follow. The only person I follow without any questions, any doubts, any disagreement is Jesus. I don't question, I don't doubt, and I don't disagree. He is my King, my Lord, my Savior. He is the boss. I don't just agree with him, I bow to him. I don't bow to anybody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Let me try to do this and get out of here. I'm starting to have fun, and that means I could just go on for a while. So let me share with you what some of these good people on the Republican platform have done, and then I'll share with you what didn't make it So this is why I say, I am not one of these people who looks with an uncritical view on these things, but you've got to make a prudential decision. You can't just say, nobody's perfect, as if we are, as if you are, as if I am. Nobody's perfect. I'm not getting involved. I'm not supporting anybody. Here's what the Republican Party has come up with for their platform. Seal the border, stop the migrant invasion, carry out the deportation, the largest deportation in American history. Yes. End inflation, of course. Stop all this spending and borrowing. Make America the dominant energy producer in the world by far. Yeah, Donald Trump did that for us too. And now here we are begging Saudi Arabia and begging people around the world for oil. Stop outsourcing and turn the United States into a manufacturing superpower. Absolutely. How would we ever fight a war like World War II when somebody else is doing all the manufacturing that we need, like communist China? Large tax cuts for workers, no taxes on tips. Defend our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our fundamental freedoms. We are a constitutional republic. We need to start acting like it again. In this, we're democracy. No, what they really mean when they say that is we're a mobocracy, and if we have our way, we will let the mob rule and we'll impose that rule on everybody, as opposed to, you know, rights and liberties come from God, and even the majority can't impose certain things on people. Prevent World War III, thank you. End the weaponization of government, the criminal justice system, against the American people, particularly against conservatives. Stop the migrant crime epidemic, thank you. Rebuild our cities, praise God. And you know, I'm so proud of Donald Trump's willingness to go into these black communities, these inner city communities, because that's what I was going to do. And he is the only Republican I've ever seen actually do that effectively and with conviction. Strengthen and modernize our military, yes. Keep the U.S. dollar, the world's reserve currency. Fight for and protect Social Security and Medicare. Cancel the electric vehicle mandate. Yeah, because nobody, the American people don't want these things. Fight for and protect. I fell behind there. Cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, radical gender ideology, and any other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political agenda on our children. Man, I love it. Keep men out of women's sports and out of women's locker rooms and out of women's showers. Deport pro-Hamas radicals and make our college campuses safe and patriotic again, and non-anti-Semitic again, I would add. Secure our elections, including same-day voting, voter identification, paper ballots, and proof of citizenship. I could have written this myself. Unite our country by bringing it to new and record levels of success. Well, that's sort of a catch-all, but of course. So praise God for that platform. Man, I love it. Here's two things they didn't say. Notice, nothing about life. Nothing about life. See, because, brothers and sisters, life comes from Almighty God. And if we are really going to be a nation that is blessed because our God is the Lord, we must defend human life. We must defend it. It's not an option. And that's not included in the 20 points of the platform. Because we know there are Republicans who've said, oh, don't touch that. We might lose. The suburban women won't like it. You know what? It's about time we had leadership that would teach people what they need to know rather than pandering to people over what they think they know. We haven't had a single political leader yet who's made the case to the American people, life is sacred. And we can't kill unborn babies. We're going to have to answer to God for that slaughter, for that violation of the inherent instinctual desire in human beings to protect our progeny. and the devil's got people all twisted up, celebrating, killing unborn babies, like some great thing they did. I think if you make the case to human beings on a spiritual and moral level, most people will get it. There are going to be a few demonic souls who won't, because they're just so full of selfishness that they're just not going to adhere. But I think most people say, you know what, you're right. What if that had been applied to you? You wouldn't be alive today. Are you glad for your life? Didn't mention that. And they didn't mention the Judeo-Christian values and principles upon which this nation was founded and have been the foundation for its great success. Faith in God, family as God ordained it. Now, maybe those things will find their way into the platform, but those are two missing pieces and they need to be added in. But see, this is where you got a bunch of these elitists who I'm sure fought a lot of this stuff and just couldn't overcome it. Thank God they got rid of Ronald McDaniel, because I always said Ronald McDaniel was a scourge, because Ronald McDaniel wasn't even conservative, just like our Uncle Mitt. Not an ounce of conviction over anything. Do anything for political power. Sending out missives and, you know, we need to celebrate homosexual month, which is what they abominably turned June into. And she's sending out stuff to Republicans. I'm thinking to myself, she's got to go. I call for her resignation on the radio here. Well, she's gone. And I think we got a different kind of chairman now. I don't know him personally. I didn't know her either. But I think we got a different kind of chairman now. Well, look, I'm going to quit. I've enjoyed every moment of this. I really have. So you all, please pray for me. And I mean that sincerely. I solicit your prayers. I will be praying for you. I'll see you all somewhere along the way on the campaign trail while I'm out there campaigning for some of these candidates who've asked for my help, and or just maybe out there speaking and have an opportunity to meet you and talk to you. But in the meantime, no discouragement, no despair, no quitting, no giving in, no giving up. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.